And we've heard a lot about faith, and I think there's a reason why, amen. You can't plan all this. God has a purpose. When he lays it on someone's heart to preach about faith, then Brother Gary preached about faith, and then our missionary, Ben Hall, on Sunday night preached about faith. And we're back on the subject of faith, amen. So I'm thankful, you know, God wants us to learn some things from his word. And obviously, this is a basic Bible doctrine course. We're not trying to go, you know, deep theology, but we're trying to cover the basics again and just lay some foundational work from the word of God. So here it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, if you continue, look at verse 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse 11, through faith, Sarah. And verse 13, these all died in faith. Back to Abraham, verse 70, by faith, Abraham. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac. 21, by faith, Jacob. 22, by faith, Joseph. 23, by faith, Moses. 24, by faith, Moses. And it continues throughout this whole chapter. This is the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. Amen. And it's a wonderful chapter. And we could see that faith requires action. I think that's what we were learning on Sunday night. The obedience, it's intentional. It can be seen, amen? And it's not just something that's in our heart, it's in our lives. And I think that's basically where I'm heading tonight. So if you didn't fill in your outline, we saw, number one, the definition of saving faith. Letter A, what it is not. Letter B, what it is. Number two, we saw also the description of saving faith. And this is where we spent a lot of time last week. Just let me name the headings. I will not go back over it. Letter A, saving faith is an undivided faith. An undivided faith. Letter B, saving faith is a trusting faith. C, saving faith is a convinced faith. And letter D, saving faith is an unmixed faith. Faith. Amen? There's a lot in there. Now we're going to finish out tonight with the Lord's help. Number three, the demonstration of faith. The demonstration of faith. And this is of saving faith. I didn't add the word saving. You know, it's more particular to salvation was what we're talking about. But it does apply to faith in general. So I want you to go back to Ephesians chapter 2. We do preach this often, how someone is saved. Amen. It is by faith. It is by grace through faith, the Bible says. But sometimes we don't read the whole concept there. We leave out verse 10 often. We like to quote 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So when you think about our relationship, we're kind of going to talk a little bit tonight about the relationships of faith and works. I think it's clear here we're not saved by works. You can't earn your salvation. It's by faith. It's by believing and trusting in Christ. But when we are created in Christ, we become a new creature at salvation. We are created unto good works. And it says here, God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I think the point is this, there are some things in here that we all will be doing because we have believed. You know, there are some works that everyone does that's saved. Amen? And that's the idea here. So, letter A. And I hope I didn't change it around. Sometimes I do that, and I didn't correct it on here. Well, I had, again, you should have had this. I think you were here by then. Right there, could you? Okay, thank you, brother. These are extra. That's the Bible. Let's check the Bible. What's in the Bible? You know, all the stuff, things in there. So we have here the demonstration of faith. Letter A, works are the product of faith. What do you have there? No, I mean, what's the saying on there? Okay, so it is, I didn't change it. For you guys. Okay, great. Sometimes I go through and I'm kind of saying, this sounds better this way. And then I change it and I don't go back to my original notes. Works are the product of faith. Now go to Titus 2:14. Look what it says about the saved. Titus 2:14. And this is speaking of those who are saved. I like this whole passage. And there's a teaching here about the grace of God. Amen. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. And then verse 12, teaching us. What's grace teach you? So the outline is pretty clear. Number one, what the grace of God brought. Number 12, verse 12, what the grace of God taught. When you receive the grace of God, what does it teach you, right? And what did the grace of God sought? Bought. Amen. Brought. I'm sorry, I'm going to get it all out here. Brought, taught, bought. And that's redeemed. He redeemed us. And what it sought. A peculiar people. What? Verse 14, I am in, already down there. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us, that he might, what the grace of God bought. It bought us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, what? Zealous of good works. What it sought, the grace of God sought, what it brought, what it taught, what it bought, and what it sought. You're not allowed to preach that. That's my outline. Actually, I got it from a godly saint who's in heaven. Paul Henderson, a great preacher. I just always remember that because of the way he just clearly laid out this passage. He was in Bowie, Texas for about 40 or 50 or 60 years, and Arlington Baptist Seminary professor, who, by the way, as some of you probably heard some of these names, E.L. Bynum, Paul Henderson, Hugh Atkinson, Larry's dad, Bob Stewart, who was in El Paso, all went to Arlington Baptist Seminary under J. Frank Norris at the same time. And I had the privilege, of course, of knowing all four of those preachers. And Brother Henderson was there the day that the BBF split off of the World Baptist Fellowship. You've heard of Baptist Bible Fellowship, went up to Springfield North and started that split. History. Great men of God, great preachers, great saints. I just had to bring that out because, you know, one of my burdens, and I hope you understand this, is we don't have a connection to the past. Some people, like you, some of you probably never met any of those preachers. Maybe you did. If you had the privilege, brother, I know Brother Reynolds knew them all. Brother Reynolds, you know, preached for them. They may have been here in this church. Why, yeah, he was assistant pastor. That's true. He was in Metropolitan. Right there's a great connection. But what I'm getting at is, let's not miss the history and the connection, because we have a generation growing up, they don't even understand the faith that was handed down by the saints unto us. So I'm thankful I have that privilege to know them and to be around them for many years. So we'll get back to the message now. That was a history lesson, Baptist history lesson. Back to Baptist doctrine. We should be zealous of good works because faith produces works. That's where you get that connection. We're created under Christ Jesus unto good works. So faith in us makes us zealous to do something for God. We should have a zeal. And that's a good message too. Someone was preaching that and telling me their burden for that thought, zeal. James chapter 2. You know this chapter speaks about works a lot. And it talks about a dead faith. And if your faith is dead, it has no works. So there is kind of a classes of faith, okay? We could call it that way. We know that the disciples had little faith at times. There's great faith. You know, we heard about that Sunday night. But what I'm talking about, this is the kind of belief that even the Bible tells us that the devils believe, okay? The devils believe and tremble. They know that Jesus is the Son of God. They know, they tremble at Jesus. But that's not saving faith, okay? That's not the faith that saves. And this is verse 14, so you understand the context. He's saying, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? This is the idea, a faith that has no works is not saving faith. That's what that verse is teaching. So if faith, you could say you believe, but if you don't have works, you have a dead faith. And we ought to understand that. That's what verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And this whole thing is about proving you have faith. Verse 18, yeah, man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you thee my faith by my works. So the idea is faith produces works. And so we could show people we truly have faith, not because we're working our way to heaven, but because we do good works. And they know, well, that's a person of faith. And then he goes into this teaching, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well, the devils will also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Then he uses Abraham. Now we know that Abraham was justified before God. It was accounted unto him for righteousness because of he believed in God. But how do we know? He's justified before men by his works. That's the idea here. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God. That was in chapter 15 of Genesis. And then he offered Isaac in chapter 22. So his faith wrought works. And now he's justified. We know he's a man of faith by his works. It doesn't mean he got saved by works. It means we know he has faith because of his works. See the whole context there? Hopefully you do. So anyway, we have a good passage here. There's a lot in there as well. Wow. So grace through faith saves, and that faith is manifest in works. If someone claims that faith, yet exhibits no works, his or her faith is dead or non-existent. Now let's look at the place of works. And we're going to go to the book of Ephesians kind of as an illustration. And I'll try to be quick here because we do want to spend time in prayer. There's so many needs out here, brethren, of these missionaries and those sick. We need to continue in that spirit of prayer tonight like we started last week or every week, but let's spend a good season in prayer tonight. So I'll try to be quick here. Just by way of illustration, the place of works, let her be. Remember, we're in the book of Ephesians. He said we're created unto good works. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This is where we're ordained. So this picture here is already kind of spelled out for us in the book of Ephesians, right in the same context where that verse is. And we see the role of the Holy Spirit. Remember, chapter 1, it says very clearly, verse number 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then we can go through the whole book and understand the relationship of the Holy Spirit in us, the power of the Holy Spirit, the, you know, being filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. All these things are in this same book. But let's look at the fact that there are nearly 90 commandments in the book of Ephesians. 90 commandments. That's why I told you, remember, we say, the law. We're not saved by keeping law. Amen. But some people want to say, we're not under any law anymore. Wrong. You're under, not under the Old Testament law, you're not over under the Old Covenant, but you're under the New Testament law. You're under the law of Christ. And that's what commandments are. They're to be obeyed. So it's not like we're without law. Grace is not, I'm without law. That's why Titus chapter 2 will straighten you right out about grace and grace living, and we are under grace. That's that passage. There's so many more like it, but that will clear up the fact that grace doesn't mean, oh, I just do what I feel like and I call myself a Christian and I'm okay with God. Just do what you feel. You know, you're under grace, by the way. No. Grace is God's enabling power to be obedient unto Him through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's grace. So now we become more obedient because of grace. Not less obedient, more obedient. Now look at these laws, commands, and I just want to read this list, just kind of chapter 4, not the whole 90 commandments. Oh, what I was getting at, 631 in the Old Testament and 1,058 in the New Testament. There's 1,058 commandments in the New Testament. So don't say we're not under commandment. Yeah, we are. We have to be commandment driven, obedience driven. That's the life of a Christian. And then chapter 4 alone, we are to be humble, verse 1, long-suffering, verse 1, put away lying, verse 25, put away anger, verse 26, not to steal, verse 28, not speaking corrupt things, verse 29, being kind, verse 32, forgiving, verse 32, put away fornication, uncleanness, chapter 5, verse 3, have no fellowship with darkness, the works of darkness, 5:11, redeem the time, 5:16, understand God's will, 5:17, be not drunk, 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit, 5:18, wives submit to their husbands, 5:22, chapter 6, husbands love your wives, husband loves your wives, 5:25, chapter 6, children obey your parents. Fathers, train your children, not provoke them to wrath. 6:4, servants be obedient to your masters. 6:5, masters treat your servants justly. 6:9, do you see how Ephesians 2:10, were created unto good works? These are the works. It's spelled out in the Bible. You don't have to, like, okay, what am I supposed to do for God? Let's get into the Word of God and find out God's will for our lives. What is He commanding us to do? And then we know God's will. These are the works that faith produces. Are we perfect? No. But we are heading in a direction. Amen. We're being sanctified and we're heading towards Christ and Christ-likeness and maturity of a believer. Will we ever arrive there? No. In this life, but that's what full salvation is. We will arrive one day, man. So concluding, is salvation a process? That's a popular heresy today. Salvation is not a process. It is a miraculous conversion experience. That's what Jesus taught. Remember John chapter 3? It's a new birth, conversion. It's not a long process. It's supernatural. It's a life-changing event. And this happens when the sinner repents, putting our first lessons, repentance of sin and faith in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Coming to repentance and faith can be a process. Amen. It's like coming, you know, the 9 months of the baby and then coming to labor. But there's a birth. Amen. That's an event. Well, that those pains leading up to there could be a process. That's what coming to true repentance and faith is God dealing with you, God working on you. But the birth is a supernatural in point in time event. You know, proper grammar, born again. Born again. Amen. That's a point in time. That's not how you say that, by the way. I heard some preachers say that. So this is what we see in the Bible when we go back through the book of Acts. Remember, they received Christ. You could see that even Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the Ethiopian eunuch, Cornelius and his household, Lydia, Philippian jailer and his household. You think of these salvation experiences and you know that they were truly saved in believing on Christ. Some, you know, the Bible says that God granted repentance unto the house of Cornelius, and repentance is there. And they believed and they got baptized. And obviously, some of them started churches right in their house. That's what churches were, in their household. Amazing. But these are the works that we see in the Bible, and they shouldn't be strange to us today. Amen? Faith produces works. Our faith will be demonstrated by good works. Let's pray.